made it. It's here.
We've done it.
100 podcasts.
100.
Guys, welcome to the 100th episode of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have an extra special top. Well, I'm not going to spoil it. Steve, what are we doing?
We're doing our combined top 100 things of the last 2 years since we started doing this podcast.
And guys, we talked about so many things. Well, Steve, what are we doing?
Wes, you just don't know what's happening, do you?
I have no idea. I'm so excited.
So there's a lot of things, guys. We've been on for 2 years and 4 months.
4 months.
So we're each giving you 50 things that we loved.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many. We had to blow this thing out into two podcasts. This is podcast episode 100.1.
Part one. Yes.
Part one.
Part one.
We're doing top 50 through 26. That means you're going to come back next week, and we're going to give you the top 25, the cream of the crop,
mm-hmm.
the best things of the last 2 years, and that is including TV, video games, movies, things in our personal lives, YouTube videos, things that we just love. We love them.
Yes.
So right now, we're going to go from 50 to 26, and then we're going to come back next week and finish this baby up.
So, Steve, nothing is happening today.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
Except for the fact that you die today.
Oh, no!
So you've got that to look forward to because you turn 30 today.
That's right. I'm turning 30. It's the 100th podcast.
This is it. You've plateaued, bud.
That's right. That's it. It's all downhill from here.
That's it, man. So live it up today.
Let me show you this dog I whittled from a fallen tree limb.
And
I took up whittling in the past couple hours.
You have an impressive collection of half-finished whittled items, by the way.
Yep.
I'm very, very interested in this half of a dice, or a die, I suppose, you've whittled.
I turned this stick into a smaller stick.
So this evening, I'll be taking Wes out for a 30th birthday surprise.
For what, Steve? What are we doing?
But it's a surprise.
Damn it.
So on our next podcast, you'll be able to hear Wes's full review of his birthday party tonight.
Oh, and I will remember those Netflix reviews? We're doing a birthday review.
Birthday review. Coming at you next week. But this is already too much. We got so much show. So much show.
Oh my God, Steve, what are we doing for the show?
This is
our top 100.
This is our top 100 between the two of us.
Yeah.
So this is our 100th episode. So,
yes.
And thank you guys so much for joining us on this super fun journey, I suppose.
This beautiful day.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day out here in Chicago. We're very excited to do this. So instead of doing our usual top five, we are each going to give you a top 50.
That's right.
So we've been on air, we've been doing the podcast for about 2 years, a little over 2 years.
2 years, 4 months.
So we are doing our favorite things of the last 2 years.
Four months.
So it's not necessarily that they came out in the last 2 years, but that we were aware of them in the last 2 years.
Yes, definitely.
So we're going to give you, of course, video games, movies, TV shows. We're also going to pepper in some things from the podcast. We're going to pepper in a few things from our life because over the last 2 years.
And 4 months.
4 months. A lot has happened.
That's right.
Has happened, both on mic and off mic.
That's
so,
right. And so, we're talking about Mike, who's been on the podcast.
Yeah, on him and on lots of things.
lots of things. And now you guys are probably wondering, these guys needed 3 weeks to do the top 50 things. This is how long it took Steve to come up with 50 things he's liked in the past
true.
2 years and 4 months.
No, and we just wanted to bring you something special, something different.
You know, an honorable mention, Steve, is your Prometheus rant.
Oh, that's my number one, so thanks for taking that.
You're welcome. It wouldn't be a top 100 if I didn't do
there
that.
There is absolutely no way I could do anything with the word top in it with fucking Prometheus involved. Can't do it.
So, Steve, before we hop into it, I don't know how you did your podcast, but of course I wrote down just
how
everything.
I did the podcast? Well, I did it without you to start.
Yeah.
That's why it was great.
How you did your top 50. What I did is I just wrote down, it wound up being like 54-ish things before I, you know, cut it off. And then I, you know, whittled it down to 50, and then I rated those things, high, middle, and low.
Yeah, I kind of did that too.
Yeah, and then rated those high, middle, and low, got like 9 groups going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I did it.
Again, this is a list. I mean, I could do this list again next week, and you could easily sway me that my, you know, 36th should actually be down at 44, you know, and vice versa, you know. But I feel pretty confident about like my top 15 being where they need to be.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Without any further ado, Wes,
should we go at the same time?
No, I think you should go.
Okay. It's my birthday.
It's your birthday. That's your number 50.
My number 50. Since it's my birthday, I'll go first. My number 50. Remember, this podcast is about TV, video games, and movies.
Yeah.
So my number 50, I'm going to get it out of the way right now. It's a book.
Okay.
Okay. I know you can't read.
Great segue, by the way.
Yep. I know you can't read, so books are things with words in them that you read in pictures form in your mind. Nope, you're looking at me blankly. Okay. But it's a book. It's a Sword of Truth series. It's the final book. The Sword of Truth is an 11-book series, and to be honest, it's...
Oh, that's what it's called, The Sworded Truth.
The Sword of Truth.
Oh, Sword of Truth, got it.
Sorry, I need to do my articulation exercises beforehand. The Sword of Truth, it's... some of the books are very, very good, some of the books are very, very bad, some of the books are kind of in the middle. The last book, though, which is my number 50, made it on my list because the last line is so iconic to me, and it has stuck with me. Since I read it 6 months ago,
What is the line?
The last line is, "Your life is yours alone. Rise up and live it."
Ooh.
It's a good sentiment, right?
Yeah.
And it's, and the book series is all about, the noble people who want people just to live their lives and the people trying to oppress everybody else. And, you know, spoilers, the good people win.
Yeah.
And,
well, you know.
Yeah, so I just love that line so much.
Yeah.
This book made the my top 50.
Specifically that line. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. And this my number 50, I'm going to go to the world of video games. And this was, like, this is not going to win awards for best anything. But it's just a fun little game that I really kind of dug. And the game is Horde.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's the response you get from Horde. It's, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I liked that game.
I remember that game.
Horde is kind of like a top-down, almost like kind of 2D-ish. Like
it's like a dual analog shooter.
Yeah,
almost.
And you fly a dragon around a little map, and you gather treasure. You bring it back to your like den, and you guard it. And you get little power-ups as you go on. Like mm-hmm. each match, if you want level or whatever, is like 10 minutes long. Mm-hmm. It's a really fun little kind of free game on PlayStation Plus that. You know, like I said, it does not have the cojones, you know, to make it up into the top 10.
Sure.
But I just wanted to give a little tip of the hat. There are some major things that I kind of left off because mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure I got Horde on the list because I dug Horde. I thought it was cool.
It barely eked in.
It was like, Horde is like your really good friend when you were a kid, but you haven't talked to him in years and years. So you're like going into a concert and you're just like, dude, come on. He's with me. So, but come on, get in here. Come on. You're going to bring him? Yes, I'm bringing him. Get in here.
Get in there, Chunk. Come on.
Chunk, come on. So Horde, I'm sneaking in the back door. Horde.
Which is Horde's tagline.
Sneaking in the back door.
All right. Well, my 49, I put it on here. For many reasons, one of which, just to piss you off, my 49 is Pacific Rim.
You fuck.
Yeah. I love this movie. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had in movie theater. Our friend Katie, who's been on the podcast before, and I, we just got a bunch of candy. We walked in like little kids and watched giant robots fighting giant monsters, and it was awesome.
Yes, I love awesome cinematic experiences. I do. But there were, as I've said numerous times, there were just too many "I need you to ignore this" moments in that movie. And I just couldn't ignore that many.
Sure,
just couldn't.
Sure. I could, so it made my list.
All right. Okay. I'm going back to the theater as well. And I saw this in the theater. And this is kind of a dual pick because this is actually for how far visual effects have come.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these movies I'm about to list being Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Gravity.
Oh, okay.
There's almost nothing real in either of those movies, and they are seamless to watch. Mm-hmm. Totally enveloped in both of them. They're really good movies, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, like 10 years ago, if you're going to make a completely CGI movie with, you know, with real actors in it.
By the way, that was a great burp, by the way.
did everyone hear that?
It was a completely good movie.
I'm sorry, man. It's the 100th episode. I'm drinking a beer, enjoying it. I got some burps. This is what happens.
Got it.
These movies are completely engrossing, and it just shows how far visual effects have come if they are used correctly with you know, finesse. And I think it's just a really amazing thing to watch. So I'm putting both of them in because I enjoy both of the movies, mm-hmm. but also the thing I take away from both, you know, now a year removed from watching, I'm like, God, the visual effects in those movies are just unbelievably good.
Yeah, and Andy Serkis really came out as like one of the, as the CGI motion cap, mocap actor.
Absolutely.
As Caesar, and then as Sandra Bullock in Gravity.
Really, really impressive work as Sandra Bullock.
Definitely. I really
so
believe it.
So that's my number 49.
All right, my number 48 is, again, we're TV, movies, and video games, so I'm going to do a podcast I discovered.
All right.
It's Never Not Funny. It's on the Earwolf Network. The host is Jimmy Pardo, who's a very, very fast-paced, quick comedian, super funny. I haven't had the chance to see him live yet, but I really, really want to, because apparently all he does is crowd work, and he's super good at it.
Okay.
He's almost like an insult comic, because all he does during his podcast is insult everyone around him.
Okay.
And it's hilarious. It's super funny. I look forward to it every Thursday, and I recommend it. Earwolf.com, Never Not Funny, every Thursday.
How many podcasts would you say you regularly listen to?
Regularly, I probably listen to 8, 10, maybe even a dozen, because I like to listen to the Nerdist podcast every now and then.
Sure.
I listen to little podcasts like Pete Holmes' You Made It Weird every now and then, but regularly, probably around 8.
Wow. That, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be interested to hear what our audience is also listening to on a level, like how many podcasts they listen to. And by the way, I'm just thrilled that we can be a part of their repertoire of podcasts.
So. Say their number one better be 5 and out. Otherwise, stop listening.
Otherwise, get the fuck out of here. So that was your number 48?
48.
I'm going to go into your favorite world, the world of Marvel.
Ooh.
And Thor 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why. I know everyone, the last several weeks, I've very clearly laid out my kind of issues going on right now with Marvel. But I feel like I'm the only guy that really digs Thor in the whole universe. Like
That's because you are.
I really liked Thor 1, mm-hmm. and I thought Thor 2 was good.
It is a fun movie.
I thought it was fun.
It's good.
I think Chris Hemsworth has excellent comedic timing.
He does.
I think he's really funny. And also because he is just so manly and Adonis looking.
Oh yeah.
That to do these funny moments, there's even a bigger like disparity between the way he looks and this and the humor that he does. So it makes it even funnier to me.
Sure.
And I also got to see it, I think, the week before it was released on some sort of special preview screening.
You went to Joss Whedon's house.
Just hung out with Joss a little bit. Mm-hmm. The guy's kind of a boner, but whatever. I hope you're not listening, Joss. But he's got a sweet couch, and he makes really good popcorn. His wife is super hot. So I like going over there when I can. And as long as he just doesn't talk too much, he's like, yeah, you want to watch Buffy again? I'm like, Wes? Oh, no, it's Joss. Nah, you know what, Joss? I'm just going to hang out with your wife and eat popcorn. Let's get this theater going again. What do you say? Sorry, tangent about Thor 2. But yeah, I got to see it with one of my best friends, Dan, on a little sneak preview. It kind of felt a little bit special to watch it that night, and it was good. I liked Thor 2, and I feel like the level I liked Thor 2 was so much above like the baseline of what people liked it. The average like of Thor 2, let's say, is like 75%.
Yeah.
I liked it like 87%, and everyone with Captain America loved it. The second Captain, like, looked at 95, and I was like, I like it 89.
Yeah, yeah.
So I liked them both, but I felt like I was the opposite, and I liked that.
Yeah, I feel like how you felt about Thor, The Dark World, and how I felt about it is reverse of how we each felt about Avengers 2.
Sure.
I liked Thor. I thought it was a fine movie. It's fun. It just didn't really grab me, and
sure.
I find myself kind of tuning out at parts.
Okay.
But what are you going to do?
So number 48, Thor dose.
My number 47, it's it made my honorable mention, I believe, on our best of for this last year. It's a little show called Review with Forrest McNeil.
Yeah.
I want more people to watch this show. The show, the head person is Andy Daly, who's a super funny comedian and improviser. And basically, he reviews life experiences. His character wants to review things like marriage and having children, happy things, going to a rock concert. But what he winds up reviewing is things like eating 30 pancakes, getting a divorce,
yuck,
going to a high school prom, and he has to do them. And it's super funny, it's super hilarious, and if you're familiar with the improv form, The Herald, they make use of that in a few of the episodes, and it's really cool to see.
All right.
Yes. That's my number 47.
47. I'm going to the movie Snowpiercer, but specifically...
I forgot about that movie. That one's great.
Specifically the fight scene in Snowpiercer between all the guys clad in the black leather and that with the axes and the batons versus the hood rats, you know, from the poor class of people moving their way forward on the train. And then the lights go out as they go into the tunnel on the train, and it's this incredible fight scene. This fight scene is awesome. I've realized one of the, Wes, now that you're 30, one of the things I was reading about getting older, and one of the cool things about getting older is that you can become, not that you can't when you're young, but when you're older, you care less about what other people think is cool, and you dive more into what you actually think is cool, and you don't care what other people say about it.
That's very true.
And I've realized I just love well done action movies.
Sure.
And I don't care if people say it's stupid and they're not well done and like what, I don't fucking care. I love well done action movies, and I think it is just as hard to make a riveting good action fight sequence as it is to create like There Will Be Blood. Maybe not quite as hard, but you know what I mean. It takes a lot of skill to do. And that fight scene in Snowpiercer is awesome. It is excellent.
No, we talked about how fight choreography is often overlooked, especially come Oscar time, because there are those great fight scenes out there that deserve some kind of recognition.
And we talked about that one of our, a very good podcast topic I really liked was, you know, things we could add to the Academy Awards, new categories we could add. And, you know, some were, we were joking, obviously. But seriously, I do think best fight choreography or best fight sequence for sure should be, because when they started the Oscars in, you know, whatever, 1930.
It was 1819.
Oh, and you were still alive, right? You're 30 now.
Yep.
So, back then, you know, the fight sequence, you know, we're talking the West Side Story knife sequence. You know,
yeah.
Like, ooh, now there are these guys hanging from airplanes as they're flying. You know, like, seriously, Tom Cruise did that in the new Mission Impossible.
What? Did he really?
Seriously, he held onto a plane as it was taking off.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Not CGI'd. And in the new Mad Max movie, nothing was CGI'd, like, action-wise.
Yeah.
It needs to be rewarded and appreciated. So I think one that needs to be rewarded is the fight sequence from Snowpiercer. So that's my number 47.
Okay. Well, I didn't even think of Snowpiercer, so I'm really glad it gets a little mention. That brings me to my 46. It's a game that I got on PS Plus. It's called Counter Spy, which is
that's my 44.
Is it really?
Dude, that's so close. I like that very much.
It's a super surprise. I thought it looked fun, but I didn't realize I'd have as much fun playing it as I did.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about it again when we get to year 44, but I just want to say, it's a great little game. I think you can get it for $10. So yeah, Counter Spy, my number 46.
We'll come back to that in just a moment. So my number 46, this is one that probably won't be on anybody else's list because this is a personal life one. And it is over the last 2 years.
Lost your virginity.
I finally had sex with my wife.
Yeah.
It's good.
Oh yeah.
Thank you for turning to the Kool-Aid man, by the way.
You're welcome.
Last 2 years, I've developed a new, I guess, family tradition, which is going to be my Thanksgiving celebration, which, for the lack of a better term, I call it a Friendsgiving, I suppose. It's me, my mom, my wife, brother-in-law, and then a couple of really close friends. And I know we talked about it around Thanksgiving time, but I absolutely love, love, love this tradition. Because I know for a lot of people around the holidays, it's you and your immediate family, brothers, sisters, whatever, and you go to some uncle's house and you see some cousins you see at Christmas, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. That's fine. I mean, I did that for years and years and years and years, and I still had a good time. But to really be surrounded by the people that I truly love around, you know, this special time of year, and just kind of buck the trend a little bit and say, like, yeah, you know what? Instead of serving this and that, let's eat the things we want to eat. Like, let's buy a couple bottles of whiskey and bourbon and drink that. And then the last 2 years, we've watched two movie trilogies.
Mm-hmm.
We watched one the day of and then two the following day after. And it's just truly something that I really, really, really look forward to now. And quite honestly, this could be my, like, number three thing on my list.
Sure.
I love the new tradition that me and my wife and my mom, we've created for Thanksgiving, and I love it. But You know, I don't want it to overpower the rest of the list. So I just tucked it down here just to give it a little mention. That's all.
Sure, sure. A little pat on the butt. Good job. All right. Well, my number 45, it's a super fun movie. It's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I had a lot of fun with this movie.
Okay, so I had Rise, you had Dawn.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's basically the aliens to Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Alien.
Hold on, then I mixed them up.
No, Rise is first, then Dawn.
Oh, I'm sorry, then I put Rise and I meant Dawn.
Well, you're an idiot, Steve.
I'm a big dummy head.
My God.
But I'd be fine with the other one, too.
First you Rise, and then you Dawn.
I don't think that's right.
That's an old saying.
You dawn and then you rise.
I've never heard that.
How can you rise without dawning?
I rise before the dawn.
How do you? Well, okay, I guess that makes sense. Actually,
So Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, super fun movie, super action packed.
Hold on, let me just clarify this one more time. Oh, you're talking about the second one.
Yes.
Okay.
Jesus.
With Mark Wahlberg.
Wait, what?
Mark Wahlberg was in the remake of Planet of the Apes in like 1995.
Oh, that's right.
I think it was Tim Burton directed it.
Yup.
Yuck.
Yeah. I don't want to spend too long on it because it's a super fun movie. I really recommend it. Rise and then Dawn.
So which one do you like better?
I like them about the same, but I had to put Rise up there a little higher. But Dawn, yeah. I think,
came out. I like Rise is the first one better because it was completely unexpected of how good it was.
That's exactly right.
Totally. Kind of like the Star Trek movie. It's like, yeah, I mean, it looks all right. I'm going to go check it out. It's like, whoa, this movie is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. All right. I got excited there. Got real excited.
Yeah, I know.
Here's one that is not going to be on your list.
Great.
And I found a new use for this in my life, and it is the TV series Holmes Inspection.
Nope.
Yep, that's right. On my list, not on yours. Mike Holmes is the second most trusted person in Canada, I found out.
Oh, wow.
And Mike Holmes is I guess what you'd call a famous home inspector / construction guy. The idea of this show is basically he goes into these houses that people had bought and found out they were lemons, basically. They suck. And he goes in and he fixes their houses and shows them how bad it is. So, like, he shows people what to look for when you're buying a house, blah, blah, blah. It sounds so fucking boring. It absolutely does. I was riveted. My wife and I watched it for 3 straight weeks every single night. And the reason this is really important is because my mother just bought a house, as I had mentioned before. Mm-hmm. So, of course, she got a home inspection. And basically every single episode of this show is Mike Holmes showing you how he does a home inspection. He goes up in the attic, he checks for, like, 2 things, and he goes down the basement and checks, like, the foundation. Those are the major things that happen. I went to my mom's house. I'm just some fucking schlub who's watched 13 episodes of this show. I don't know shit about home inspections.
Hey, I've seen every episode of House, so I'm basically a doctor.
So you know what's up.
Yeah.
So I go to my mom's house, she's already bought, and I just do a little Steve home inspection. I just did what Mike Holmes did on the show. I went up to the attic, I went down the basement, I found like 3 or 4 problems that were not on the home inspection that was given to my mom. I was like, who did your home inspection? It's like, what's happening? How did I find this just from watching this show? So I'm giving a special tip of the hat to Mike Holmes for making me a home inspector.
All right.
Just by watching his show.
Well, the honorable mention of mine, I'm basically a doctor because I watched House. So there you go. My number 44, though, I started, it's a little life event. I started working on a radio show called The Game Show Show and Stuff.
Yeah.
It's been really cool. I get to be like the third guy on the mic. Be one of their producers, if you will. I get to meet all these cool theater people that are around Chicago here. I get to meet visiting artists. I even get to review shows on the show, which means I get free tickets and good press seats to these shows around Chicago. And we're talking some big shows.
And also, my wife and I often get to go with you. So I also like this.
Yeah. But it also has rekindled my love of theater, which is why I recently went out for a show and got cast. It has started me doing a lot of audio production, experimenting with that. It's just been a good thing all around.
That's great, man.
It made my top 50.
That's a good life thing to have on there.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good. And it's good too, like taking a chance on something you don't really know that well, and it rewards you in several ways. That's good.
Yes.
That's a good thing. You need that when you're 30 plus.
I know. God, I need something.
So number 44 for me was Counter Spy, as we touched on briefly before. You are the one that I downloaded Counter Spy. It just sat on my PS3 for a long time. Mm-hmm. And you're like, dude, just try it. And I played a little bit here. I was like, this is kind of fun. And then I beat the shit out of that game. I took that weekend and I beat the shit out of Counterspy.
You did.
And I still play it. The game is good. Mm-hmm. It is good. If you're looking for good. Like you said, for $10, I got it for free. I would definitely spend $10 for Counterspy. Mm-hmm. That's a good game. So that's my number 44.
Okay. Well, my number 43 is a game called Saints Row 4. It would have been Saints Row 3, but I played it before we started the podcast, yada, yada, yada. Saints Row 4 to me, though, is still fun.
Oh, shit.
What's up?
I thought Saints Row 3 was in the time frame.
Well, maybe it was. Maybe it was. But
sure is now.
Sure. It's right on the cusp, let's say that. But Saints Row 4 is just all the fun of Saints Row 3. But, of course, now you have superpowers.
This is my first disagreement with you on this list.
Fair enough. But I really enjoyed it. The storyline is super ridiculous, almost too ridiculous, which is why it's not higher on the list. But it's still a blast, and I really enjoyed playing through it. And I platted it, too.
So oh, you got that platy.
I did get that platy.
Sweet, sweet platy.
Oh, yeah, and I'd cuddle up with it at night.
Man.
I whisper sweet nothings in its handle.
What are you at right now?
22 platy.
Have you beaten me now?
No, you're at 23.
God. Dude, I gotta start playing video games.
I know. You've been letting it
honestly,
slide.
Honestly, it's been for like 9 months. I have not really just locked in, except for Shadow of Mordor, mm-hmm. and which will make an appearance later in my list.
Oh.
But where? But where?
Nobody knows!
So, my number 43, it is a video game, and it is a free game from PlayStation Plus this
Ooh,
month.
Okay.
And that is Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes.
Yeah.
The reason if this were a full-blown game, it would probably be in my top five. However, it is just it's a big-ass demo. That's really what this is.
Mm-hmm.
But it really does kind of, you know, get my appetite going for the Phantom Pain mm-hmm. for Metal Gear Solid 5 when that eventually is released. But, I mean, if you drop $40 on this like it originally came out, this is a ridiculous $40 to spend. However, I bought it for, I think, $7 or $8,
mm-hmm.
and it's one giant level, basically. But they give you maybe 7 or 8 modes to play in. So it does have some replay value, and there's a lot of things to do. And I thought it was a nice little kind of appetizer for the mm-hmm. game that will be forthcoming. So, and I just love the Metal Gear world. I don't know what the fuck is happening in it half the time, but I just love being in the world.
Sure.
And I just, so for all of the nostalgic reasons, plus the new things that they brought to the mechanics of the game, and a pretty nice variety of different modes within this game.
And the Kiefer.
And the Kiefer, which, you know what? Fits really well.
Sure, sure.
There's no point where I'm like, oh, I wish, is it David Hayter?
David Hayter.
It doesn't take away from me.
You mean you don't miss this kind of talking.
Solid Snake. No, but you know what? That's fine. So I'm going to go number 43, MGS Ground Zeroes.
All right. My number 42 is a YouTube series that I got turned on to by a friend. It's called the Game Grumps. It's the Let's Play series that I watch every single day at noon and at 4 o'clock. Every day. They have 3 concurrent playthroughs happening every single day. But they're 10-minute episodes.
Well, still.
I know.
To put anything up every single day is impressive.
I mean, we barely get this up every week.
God, that's incredible.
Yeah, these guys mostly play old school retro games
like okay.
Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. They recently just did Super Mario 64.
I love that game.
Sure,
God, I
sure.
wish that came out in the last 2 years.
They do, but they really excel on their one-offs, which are they just play 10, 15, 20 minutes of a really terrible game. And they're super funny. They get a little too far into the shit jokes for me, but that's
hey,
why
man.
I know that's
that's right up my alley.
I know. So yeah, man, I actually recommend checking them out. They
Game
out.
Grumps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I saw a few episodes and I immediately started. I went back and I watched all of them leading up to current day.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
God, how many a day?
Three. Technically 3 a day.
Holy shit!
But 2 of them are Game Grumps. One is a computer game series called Steam Train.
Okay, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Good for them.
So, yeah, I recommend it. They're a lot of fun.
Okay, my number 42 is one that I just spoke about last week, but I don't care. It's fresh enough, and it's important enough to be on the list.
Okay.
We are going with Kung Fury.
Oh, I still haven't seen it.
And number 42. Oh, man. You know what? That's what we're going to do tonight. We're canceling everything else. We're going to watch Kung Fury for your birthday. Seriously, honestly, I'm not kidding. We are going to watch it tonight. Before the night is over, we're going to watch Kung Fury.
Sounds good.
It is just a super fun 31 minutes. You can, if you want to listen to the podcast from last week where I go into my kind of review of Kung Fury, it is the 80s condensed into this one pill of 30 minutes. It's amazing.
Sure.
It's so fun. So I'm going to go 42, Kung Fury.
My number 41 got added last minute because your wife reminded me of it.
I hate her.
I know. It's X-Men Days of Future Past. I dug the shit out of this movie, not only because was it just a good movie, but it wiped the slate, I guess semi-spoilers here, it wiped the slate clean from X3 and X-Men Wolverine, all that BS in between, and they brought in the first class people as well, and they kind of mashed together the two universes, past and present, and it was a lot of fun. It got me hooked in so hard, so fast, because I'm a sucker for superhero films.
You, God, are you?
Yes,
I was thinking about what to do for your birthday. I was like, well, how can I get Wes to be a superhero today?
I mean, isn't that every boy's dream?
I mean, yeah, we've only done like 9 podcasts about superpowers. So.
That's right. So yeah, I just wanted to briefly mention it. X-Men Days of Future Past.
You know what? That is one I need to go back and watch again. It was not the right day with the right circumstances of the day leading up to it. And I didn't give it a fair shake.
Sure.
Because I loved First Class.
Well, you need to stop shaking it and watch it.
I'm just like, oh, is this a Polaroid picture? Terrible joke. Terrible joke.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, God. Happy birthday to me.
Ready? Number 41. This is truly one of my favorite things of the last 2 years.
Duncan
Parker Newton Gaines. The most important thing is, I love saying your name. But the second most important thing is I love that we have, like, that I know we have one fan out there for sure. I know other people listen to the podcast, and believe me, I appreciate it more than you know. But the fact that Duncan Parker Newton Gaines writes in almost every week, and I almost feel like we just have this, he's like a dude that works in the booth, like on the other side of this this wall that listens. And he's like, okay, yeah, good. Good week. All right, guys, got to get better next week. You know, and I feel like he's the unnamed third party of Five and Out. And I truly love all listener emails, all correspondence with everyone.
We got Nick, Brian, other Steve.
But Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
It's just that name.
It's
just
so
the name.
Fun. The name is so good.
That's right.
It's like perfect iambic pentameter. I just love it.
Yeah.
I just love it. And whenever we get an email, like we read through, I love seeing brand new names that have never written in.
Sure.
That's super exciting. And if we go through, we're like new guy, awesome, awesome, awesome. Where is Duncan Parker Newton Gaines?
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Where is Duncan Parker Newton Gaines? So that's a shout out to you, and thank you very much. Please continue writing in, and that Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. My number 41.
Okay, my number 40. Oh, we finally got to 40. My number 40 is Walking Dead Season 2 Telltale Games. I wasn't as huge a fan of it as everybody else was, but I still really enjoyed it.
What do you rate number 1 versus number 2?
Walking Dead Season 1.
Yeah.
Then The Wolf Among Us, and then Walking Dead.
Give me numbers.
I'm sorry.
Just give me numbers. 1 out of 100. 0 out of 100.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Season 2. What do I rate it? Oh, God. It's still really good. So probably like an 84.
Solid. Okay.
Solid 84.
And then Walking Dead Season 1.
God, like a 95.
Yeah.
It's really good. But Walking Dead Season 2, we talked about it before. The first episode seems so much like the first episode of Season 1. It was so reminiscent of that. A lot of the same choices. And then you're just playing a girl around the zombie apocalypse. Granted, it's a story about how the girl comes to her own, starts becoming a woman, which is really cool to see. But I didn't feel like she had a lot of say over her current circumstances.
True. And also a story that is not often told in video games as well.
Of course. Of course.
Which is cool.
Yes.
To take that chance is really cool.
I focus on the bad for some reason. It made my list for a reason. It's still a really fun game. I still really enjoyed it.
Good. Good.
Yes.
All right. After Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. Number 40 is a documentary that is called Blackfish.
Okay.
And Blackfish, for those who have not seen it, I highly recommend watching it. It's still on Netflix. It's basically the mistreatment of orcas at SeaWorld is essentially what it is about. And the great thing for me about Blackfish is that it walked that line between really harsh truth of a documentary that really makes you, when you're done watching it, say to yourself, like, God, I've got to do something. And like, it makes you really examine your thoughts and feelings about things. But it walks that line where it doesn't make you feel so terrible about it that they're like, well, I am horrible. Everyone else is horrible. We are all horrible. So let's just all die. Let's just call it a game and agree we're all the worst things that's ever happened. And
orcas win.
Orcas win. Let us elect a king orca to rule us all. Because there are some documentaries that are just, they talk about stories that are so difficult. And I appreciate them for doing that. But just beat you over the head with how awful it is to the point where I give up. Like, I don't know what to say or do and I watched Blackfish and I was like, man, this is a really well done documentary about a subject I didn't know much about and inspired me to do some things and brought up interesting questions to me and like within myself and within societally what we do. And so it's a really, really well done documentary, and it has had an effect on the treatment of the animals at SeaWorld and SeaWorld as a company, and there was huge backlash, so I applaud it for getting that done. So a very, very, very well done documentary that really kind of took me aback. So number 40 is Blackfish.
All right, entering into the 30s with 39, it's our podcast, 5 and Out 21, Useless Superpowers, / Netflix Reviews, Jingle All the Way. Why I put these on here, not to be super masturbatory or anything, but this is when I feel like we hit a turning point and when we started... You know, the earlier podcasts were fine, but this is when we started really clicking chemistry-wise. And by clicking, I mean doing it on mic.
Doing it on the mic!
And if you guys want to go back and listen to those, they're super fun, nostalgic listens, and I still...
I won't even say... I mean, it's nostalgic for you and I. The Superpower Podcast, the Useless Superpowers, is super funny.
Yeah.
Because we had our good friend Dan on as a special guest. And it's honestly, it's really funny.
That's
like,
right.
Not to like toot our own horns. Like, there's many a podcast where we're like, yeah, it's good. It's funny. Yeah, it's good. This one is legitimately really funny.
Yep. The only really downfall is we had our original mic equipment, so the sound quality is not as good as current.
But the content is so good.
And Netflix Reviews, which is something I do want to bring back at some point. But Jingle All the Way, that movie was the quintessential Netflix review because we laughed so hard at it, but also we pointed out all the plot holes in it.
Oh man!
And we really dissected it, and it was great.
Yeah, if you want to check out, I think the best Netflix review and probably the best podcast we've done. Maybe, probably the best one.
Yeah.
Those are probably their top two, I think.
Sure. There's been plenty afterwards that I've really enjoyed, maybe even liked more, but that is the first one that I still listen to.
Okay. Yeah. Number 39, a free PlayStation Plus game. I was surprised by how much I dug this game, and it's Metro Last Light.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not making an appearance on your list, I assume.
Nope.
I
still liked it.
So it's a first-person shooter game, kind of post-apocalyptic in a Russian subway, basically. But I really liked the world that they created in this game. And again, one that I just went in with no expectations. I didn't really know what the hell was going on with this particular game. It was free. I downloaded it and played it. And really kind of cool, gritty world. Nice balance of the
How are those burps treating you?
That's just fine.
Okay, good.
Everyone else feeling good? We're all moving on. Hey, it's like we're having drinks at a bar right now,
that's
man.
That's right. That's right.
It's like I'm drinking, going right over the burps. Don't worry about it. No one's making a big deal about it.
That's right. No asshole will do that.
God, what a gah. So, as I was saying, Metro Last Light. I love the burps in Metro Last Light. I think they do a great job incorporating burps into a game. They don't have super ridiculous guns. You know, there's no BFG from Doom in it. So there's a real sense of, of a real post-apocalyptic kind of world.
Sure.
That I do appreciate that a lot. Because it's a really cliche kind of place to go in a way. After the bombs drop, you know, or whatever, Fallout makes an incredible world. And Metro Last Light makes a really good world there.
Yeah, because they have a lot of interesting post-apocalyptic mechanics, like the air is actually poisonous to you, so you have to keep switching in and out those air canisters.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it'd be annoying, but really it's not. It's super cool, actually.
And they use it to great effect in certain points where they make it where you start running out of them, so it's this panicked moment. It's just, it's a really cool, very believable and somewhat unique post-apocalyptic world. Good shooter mechanics, tight controls, cool, respectable guns.
Ooh, tight controls.
It's a big deal.
Respectable guns.
Dude, tight controls are very important.
Steve Slower.
And this is why I hate Wes. Honestly, that's why I didn't play Killzone for a super long time, because the mechanics, the tight controls were not tight. They were... The controls were so wonky, and it's like every other first-person shooter game has a kind of a set way to rotate through weapons and reload, and Killzone was like, no, we're going to do this. I was like, well, fuck you, Killzone. I'm not going to play your game because it's stupid. You're just being different to be a dick. A game that plays by the rules, but mechanics-wise, but did its own thing, is Metro Last Light, and I really dug it. That's why I bumped all the way up to 39.
Alright, that brings me to my 38, which is a little sitcom that I've mentioned before a couple times that I've really enjoyed. Jill actually got me into this one. It's called Modern Family. It's nothing that'll bust your ass open.
Can you give me three things that have... busted your ass open?
Oh, can I, sir?
Well, Hector, for one.
That's right. It's something that'll burn your house down, thank God. Am I getting these metaphors correct?
Nailing them. Just hitting them out of the park, bud.
Yeah, but it's just a cool, it's a really funny, it's a nice show. It's a nice show that you watch, and it warms your heart, and it's consistently funny, and it's a great ensemble show.
It is an ensemble.
Everywhere from Ed O'Neill to Sofia Vergara to...
Oh, don't get me started.
Oh, God. To the youngest, the oldest daughter.
I don't actually... Don't get me started on Sofia Vergara, and honestly, don't get me started on that girl, because she makes me so awkward.
That's right. Everybody is super funny, and it's a great ensemble show.
Yeah, and I feel like that's one of those shows that is consistently funny.
It's
a funny show.
Exactly.
But I don't feel like there are a ton of, oh my God, this part is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of, it's funny.
It's funny.
It's a funny show.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of do the crank my head to the side and nod. That's funny.
That is funny.
That's a funny show.
that's funny. I can't watch it too long because I got a crick in my neck.
Because my neck hurts now. It's a good pick.
Thank you. Thank you.
Number 38. My number 38 is way better. And
here we go.
My number 38 is the John Travolta name generator. If you recall, from the Academy Awards, I believe it was 2 years ago, Idina Menzel, a.k.a. Adele Dazeem, John Travolta just butchered her name like a big fat embarrassment. And then
with a hairpiece.
Is he just a weirdo looking dude? Wow, John Travolta. So the next day, this website came up with a John Travolta name translator. You put your name in, and it gives you the butchered John Travolta version. Mm. Best part of this is I put put a bunch of friends in it, and ha ha ha, that's funny, ha ha ha. I put my wife's name in it, and her name became Harvey Sorfins, and I still call her Harvey, if not entirely Harvey Sorfins, as does at least two other members of her family. So the fact that John Travolta name generator has lasted, and it's, I don't do this in spite of Holly. She likes the nickname Harvey. She finds it really endearing. She's like, I've never had a nickname that wasn't somehow related to her name Holly, like Holly Bear or Holly Bolly or some like.
Holly Bolly.
I'm telling you, there's weird, because Holly doesn't have a built-in, Steve has Steve Areno,
I've never called you Steve Areno.
But it is a built-in nickname.
Okay.
It's just how it is.
Sure.
Holly doesn't necessarily have one.
Okay.
So the fact that she, like, I and just a couple people she holds very dearly call her Harvey, she really digs it. And I dig that she digs it. And I don't dig John Travolta, but I do dig the John Travolta name generator. So thank you, John Travolta name generator, and fuck you, John Travolta.
Well, great. Now he's never coming on our podcast.
Darn.
Well, my number 37 is a game that got talked up a little bit too much, but I still enjoyed it immensely. It is a little game called BioShock Infinite.
No!
What? No, it can't be.
Yeah, well, it's not number one.
Okay.
It's not
good.
Number one, but I will tell you, you are treading in top 15 territory.
Oh, boy. Well,
your list sucks.
Great. Well, BioShock Infinite, we'll get to it on your top 15.
God.
Super fun first-person shooter.
Shut up.
But
I don't want to hear what you have to say about it, you hater.
Maybe it's because I've tried to platy this game for the past couple years and just got stuck in that final fight, have not been able to beat it, but it's still a super fun game. We'll get to it later.
You suck.
That's right.
Fine. You know what? Then I'm going to say one that's probably on your list.
Oh, good.
You bastard. My number 37 is Captain America 2.
Oh,
all right.
No.
We're going to table that. We'll move right into Wes's 36.
Okay. 36 is a little game called Tomb Raider.
Oh, my. You did move up a few, but.
Okay. Is that your number one?
It is my number two.
No,
kidding.
Tomb Raider, a super fun adventure game. Got some platforming elements. Got a lot of shooter elements.
You know, let's take a moment and talk about it, because what I'm going to do, I'm just going to do my old swap-a-roo right now. It's a 10 position swap, but I'm okay.
Steve, I don't know how to handle this.
Actually, I take that back. I'm just going to move everything up one, because it's a 10. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, so we can talk about it now?
Let's talk about it now.
So both of our 36s are Tomb Raider now?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, let's talk about it, Steve.
Oh.
No, it's really enjoyable, and why I really liked it, I don't know why, but I feel like I come across as like I have a feminist agenda on this show. But
do you feel that way?
I do feel that way, because what I'm about to say is like there
weren't
are...
you the one talking about the Hispanic woman dentist?
She's a Hispanic woman. She's also a dentist.
Yeah, but you were hating on her.
Well, she hates on me. I give what I get. Tomb Raider is one of the few games out there that has a strong woman as a protagonist.
This is not why you like Tomb Raider.
But it's a reason why I like it. But it's another reason why
This happens. I feel like this just happens to be a strong. That's not why you like Tomb Raider.
Well, all of the other reasons why I liked it have been covered. It's a great game, great story.
You're right, because nobody talked
mechanics.
About her being a strong female character.
Oh God, Steve, why don't you talk about it?
Oh, thank you, Wes. No, please. But that's not why you didn't sit down and finish that game. And be like, you know, the best part of this game—that's a strong female character.
No, I didn't. But I wanted to touch on that because I know you're going to talk about her breasts and her ass.
Let's talk about them titties. They're no longer super pointy like they used to be back in the original PlayStation days. So that's a big reason why Tomb Raider.
God, you are the worst.
Honestly, the reason I like this game is because it's basically female Uncharted.
So a strong female character.
Strong female character, but the action in this game is great.
Yes.
The combat system is fantastic.
Yes.
They took everything that's really good about Uncharted and, you know, just kind of remolded it.
Slap some titties on Nathan Drake.
Slap some titties on Nathan Drake and you got Tomb Raider, and that is a winning combination for me. And also, this was a game that I had almost no expectations going into as well. Because I never liked the older Tomb Raider games. I thought they, I don't know, I just didn't really think they were that great back in the day. So this one, I was like, oh my God, they've made a good game here. This is great. And again, free on PlayStation Plus.
Yes, that's right. Was that a double burp at the same time?
Double burp.
Okay, great. Well, my number 35 is it's a little show called Gallivant.
Oh, yeah, you love some Gallivant.
I did love some Gallivant. For those
John Stamos, baby.
Oh, he was in an episode.
Yeah. That's all I know.
It was a mid-season, I guess not a replacement or anything, but it was a mid-season show that only had 8 episodes. And why it stood out to me, why it made my list, is because I haven't seen a show like it where they have all original music by Alan Menken. For those of you out there who don't know, he did music in The Little Mermaid and The Little Shop of Horrors.
And Forrest Gump.
And Forrest Gump, apparently.
No, sorry, Alan Silvestri?
But
Alan Silvestri,
never mind. I was going to say, Alan Menken does musicals.
Sorry, never mind. Wrong Alan.
But it's super fun, super funny. It's just a wonderful show, and it is a great Eight episodes.
Okay.
Yes. And it's coming back for a season two, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I think that might be a fun kind of weekend watch kind of thing with the wifey.
Yeah, it's less than 4 hours long, dude.
Actually, I'm writing it down. That's on a legit list. Legit watch list.
Thank God. How's 6 Feet Under coming, by the way?
Oh, man. Just under. It's coming in under. Very much under.
All right.
Number 35. Really, really dug this web series. I've not really dove into the new season yet, but it is Tabletop on YouTube.
Mm-hmm,
Got really into board games this last year. Hit it real hard at the start, and kind of eased off since because it is an issue getting enough people together to play games a lot. You know, like that.
Sure.
So I would kind of like to get. A gaming night. Maybe once every other week or something, or once a month.
Oh, dude, I'd love that.
That'd be really cool. So maybe that's something to look forward to.
Write that down. Put that on your list.
Done. It's on the list.
Great.
On our 30-plus old man list, monthly game parties.
Oh, God, monthly bridge night.
God, can't wait. Yeah. Bring my wife's grandmother over. She's going to school us all. It's going to be great. Tabletop is, they play a different board game every week. They kind of give you a breakdown of the rules, have some kind of B to C list. D-list celebrities come on,
sure.
Play the game. Some episodes are more entertaining than others, but the important thing is they introduce you to new games you probably weren't aware of. And I picked up Ticket to Ride from this.
Super fun game.
Which is a super fun game we played several times, had a lot of fun with. A couple other games that I now own, have played with friends, and had a really good time. So the show is very, very watchable, very accessible. Even if you're not familiar with board games at all, it doesn't treat you, like you're stupid for not knowing previous games. It's a really good, well done, pretty high budget actual web series on there. So
yeah,
I definitely recommend taking it out or checking it out, and I recommend getting some friends together playing some board games.
Yeah, totally. Checking it out, whipping it out, whatever.
I mean, maybe you check it out, you whip it out, maybe you whip it out, then they check it out. I'm not going to tell you.
We
how to
have
do it.
A lot of options here.
So, Tabletop, letting me know how to whip it out and check it out.
My number 34, I'm surprised it's so low compared to, I know this is going to be on your list in a bit, Shadow of Mordor.
It is.
But
number 27.
No, come on. We can just get to it later.
Yeah.
We don't need to keep flip-flopping around.
Flippity-floppity. We'll get back to it in just a moment.
That's right. So that's my number 34, Shadow
number
of Mordor.
34. Million dollar idea.
Thanks. Million dollar baby.
Million dollar idea.
Okay.
We've said that quote several times over the last couple years.
Yep.
The one that I truly think could be a million dollar idea. I love this idea, and I have to figure out a way to get this done. The Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne. I should have looked it up who submitted this to us.
I love how the one that we have, the one that's legitimately good, is someone else gave us.
Absolutely not our idea.
Exactly not.
But someone submitted to us the idea of a Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne web series, basically, that they continually try to hide from. It's Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent meet each other as those guys, not as Batman and Superman.
Yeah.
And then they continue, they're buddies. He's a good guy. I like hanging out with him. But they don't want to let the other one know that they're a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to continually fight crime while keeping up. It's almost like a dating show kind of thing. Where they have to, they're buddies, but I can't let them know about this other thing.
It's a romantic comedy.
It's a rom-com with Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent as bromance.
Hey, Bruce, where's Batman? Hold on, let me go get him. Hello. Batman, where's Bruce? Hold on, let me go get him.
But they never know that they'll never, they don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
The idea of that to me is so funny. Where they're at a Buffalo Wild Wings or something watching a game together. And Superman hears someone in distress I gotta run to the bathroom real quick. And he comes back. Dude, you missed that goal. Where were you? These wings aren't settling real well. Whatever, the idea of those two having to fight crime and not let the other one know that they both have the same secret.
Oh, my God.
I think it's hilarious. It would be an awesome, six-part YouTube series.
Well, thank you, whoever wrote that one into us. It's now ours.
That's it. We claimed it.
Oh, yep.
I've already copywritten it.
Copywritten?
That's it. Copywrote it.
Copywrite it.
Copyright on it.
Copyrighted.
I copyrighted it?
Yeah.
I copywritten it?
It's it's not copyright as in you're writing something. It's copyright.
That's
you
true.
Copyrighted it. Again, you can't read, so
it's true.
I know.
I don't understand the words.
Oh, God. Well, we need to get you a word burning stove. We talked about in our point five. Anyway, that was last week. So my number 33 is a little something. I don't know why everything's so little. I'm going to stop saying that for the rest of the goddamn podcast.
It's my pee-pee. It's little.
I discovered it the past 2 years, 4 months.
But, man, it's a fun thing.
Do you have one of these?
I've got a pee-pee.
Oh, my God.
Is there anything less sexy / manly than calling it a pee-pee?
Answer, no.
Correct answer, zero. Nothing is less sexy or less appealing than calling it a pee-pee.
Let me tell you my number 33. It's a large, bulbous, blood-filled thing called getting PlayStation Plus.
PlayStation, dude, we are on it.
What? Am I always just like six ahead of you?
You're like six ahead of me.
Wow. Okay. Well, briefly, why it's on my list. It has opened me up to so many games that I would not buy, but playing them is super fun. I would not have played these games otherwise. Things like Papo and Yo, which is not on my list, but it was a super fun artistic game. Things like The Unfinished Swan, Counter Spy, Tower of Guns. I could go on, but...
But you'll hold it until I do mine.
That's right. I'm holding it like the pee I'm holding right now.
So that brings me to my number 33. And this actually involves you, young Wesley.
Oh, God.
Within the last 2 years and 4 months, you came over with my wifey poo and my pooch.
Oh, God.
And we had a really fun viewing experience. And it happened to be with Sharknado.
Why?
I'm not putting the movie Sharknado in my top 50.
Okay.
I'm putting the viewing experience.
I blocked it out.
Why would you do that? I had so much fun.
Oh, okay, you're right. You're right.
I had so much fun.
You're so sorry, Steve.
You know, sit me down by myself to watch Sharknado, and it is torture. Mm-hmm. It is torture to watch that movie. But it's for Sharknado, but also just the general experience of watching a laughably bad movie with the right mix of people.
Sure.
At the right time. It's just a great thing. It's so fun to, you know, jointly talk over exposition parts that you don't give a shit about. You know, mm-hmm. You're talking about, oh, yeah, and this and that. Oh, is that a tornado? And he cuts him in half with a chainsaw! Like, oh! You know, it gives you just enough time to converse with one another, make little lines to, you know, each other that how ridiculous the movie is, and then just have those awe moments of, did he just cut a flying fucking shark in half with a with a chainsaw? Like, it's...
With a tornado?
Did he cut... Honestly... It would not surprise me if in the new Sharknado, they cut a shark in half with a tornado of chainsaws.
Have you seen what possibly might be the new Sharknado?
Oh, God.
It's called Lavalantula. Lavalantula.
Oh, is this one of those, like, sci-fi, awful, terrible movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those. Sharknado, this experience is the only one I'm willing to talk positively about.
Okay.
That is it.
Okay.
And let's just talk real briefly about how horrible Tara Reid looks and acts.
Ooh, yeah. Awful all around.
Awful. Remember? She is the acting / looking equivalent of calling your stuff a pee-pee.
Remember her in American Pie? She used to be so beautiful.
God, she was hot.
Okay.
Would you rather have Tara Reid from American Pie or...
Shannon Elizabeth all the way.
Yeah, I get...
She's got the body.
Oof, man.
Yep.
Woo!
But my... That's... you're done with 33, right?
Correct.
I don't want to step on your little pee-pee.
Don't. Good luck finding it first.
Okay. My number 32 is another podcast that just started maybe a couple months ago. So it's well documented that one of my favorite comedians is Paul F. Tompkins.
Yes.
He is an awesome improviser and a podcast guest. He's one of the best. If he's on a podcast, I will listen to that podcast. I love him so much. He started his own podcast, again on the Earwolf Network, called Spontanea Nation, where he interviews kind of B-list, C-list celebrities like Martin Sheen, the mother from Twilight, basically his friends. And then he and a group of three improvisers do a long-form improvised scene for about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. It's always super funny. He is great. His friends are all great. Even the interview is super funny. I really recommend this podcast. If you haven't heard of it before, give it a listen.
All right, man.
Spontanean Nation every Monday.
I think this one is going to surprise you a little bit.
Is it my pee-pee?
It is your pee-pee.
Okay.
Your tiny little pee-pee. Which is the most unsexy way to say the most unsexy thing. In baby voice.
We barely got 15 in, and this podcast has already gone off the rails.
We're done, guys. My number 32, this is the... It's going to sound ridiculous, but let me explain it.
Okay.
It sounds even more ridiculous than the Sharknado viewing experience.
Okay.
Number 32 is the Star Wars trailer. This is why it is on my list. Because I'm cautiously optimistic that it is going to be a good movie for The Force Awakens.
Sure.
But as is well documented in the last 2 years and 4 months, I happen to be the bit of the pessimist.
That's true.
I happen to be the guy that hates most of this stuff. And is pretty vocal about hating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this trailer the day after Thanksgiving, I believe, and very rarely does this happen. It kind of lit that little fire in my tiny little black heart. It gave me a
tiny little hee-hee.
Ew.
I know. Let's move past that.
It gave me this kind of hope, this optimism about watching a movie, and I feel like this is going to be another one of these viewing experiences that I'm very excited about to share with other people. So the reason the trailer is on, because you know I don't like trailers, but this has given me really something to look forward to for like a year. And that's so rarely done in both TV, video games, movies, anything where I like really look forward to something for a while. And I'm trying not to get my expectations too high for this film.
Sure.
But I'm really, really looking forward to the kind of communal experience, because there's very few things that happen, like the finale of Breaking Bad. You know, everyone wanted to talk about it. The Red Wedding. We all talked about it. It was this cool thing that kind of brought everyone together. And I know that the release of Star Wars is probably going to be the biggest opening weekend of anything ever. And it's going to be this really cool communal thing. And I guess I hadn't really thought about it that much until that trailer came out. And I was like, man. That's going to be really fun. It's going to be around Christmas. People are going to be home for the holidays. I'm going to be able to see this thing with a bunch of people. We're all going to talk about it. And whether it's real good, real bad, everyone's going to have an opinion about it.
Yep.
And so my anticipation was kind of teed off by this trailer. And that's why it is this high on my list, because I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Okay. Thank you. So my 31 is something that you touched on briefly before, but it is the Friendsgiving that I got to go to this past year. I really enjoyed the Friendsgiving because whenever I go back home for holidays, you have to go through that, what are you doing nowadays, Wes? Oh, I'm doing this, this, that, and, you know, everyone has to go through
their
family that they see 3 times a year at most. And it's like, I just want to print on a pamphlet. Like, this is what's going on, ask me questions from this, but here's the basics. But I come from a very small town, so I also had to put up with, so are you still doing that theater thing? You still playing theater? As someone actually asked me.
Good.
Oh, yeah, I'm still playing it. Still playing that theater. but staying here for Thanksgiving, I was like, oh, surrounded by people who I legitimately enjoy and love, and getting to watch Indiana Jones for the first time.
Yeah, big. That's a big life moment.
It's big. But seriously, the atmosphere, the laughter, the food, everything about it was like, oh, this is what Thanksgiving is supposed to be like.
Yes.
So that's why I made my list Friendsgiving.
Yes. All right, my number 31, another free PlayStation Plus game.
Ooh, a lot of these are on your list.
Yeah.
My God.
Because this is from the glory days of the PlayStation Plus when they gave you games you wanted to play.
Oh, shots fired.
Yes. This is a series that we know very well, and this is DMC.
DMC.
Devil May Cry. Wes and I, throughout college, played through the first one. The second one, didn't finish the third one because it's horrible.
No.
No, second one's terrible.
Was horrible.
Sorry.
Third one was great. You finished it.
Yep.
I left before the last fight.
We played 4, and then we both played DMC individually.
Yes.
But I love the fast-paced action of the game. It cut down on the kind of cheesiness of Dante a bit. Because for a while, some of his lines were just so Capcom.
Oh, God. What was that one?
Why can't I be the one
to fill her Dark Soul with light?
Why can't I be the one to fill her dark soul with light. We got far less lines like that.
Somebody wrote that line, and somebody else liked it enough to put it in the game.
God. Really, really great replay value, good character design, and it was a really fun game to play through several times with different weapons, different techniques.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of collectibles. Really, really great free game on PlayStation Plus. And it was one of those games where I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna play through it. And then I did. I was like, you know what? I kind of want to play through it again and do this. I kind of want to go. I do this, the time trial. I want to find the hidden stuff. There was a lot of stuff to do in that game, and it was a really, really nice, not necessarily reboot of the series, but kind of a reboot of the series, I suppose.
I think it was a reboot of the series.
Just because I have such a negative connotation with reboots in general.
There have been some good reboots.
But this
reboots.
Is a good reboot. It is a good reboot. So I really dug DMC, and not Run DMC, more of the Devil May Cry DMC.
Sure. My number 30, we're almost to the 20s, man. My number 30, which is our age, by the way, it is Community Season 5. This is the season when Dan Harmon came back after being fired before Season 4. Season 5 brought back the old feels of Community. It was hilarious. It made fun of nerdy stuff, but in such a way that made you proud of being a nerd. It was super funny. It said goodbye to Troy with a super heartfelt goodbye episode, and it was great, and it even had a great series finale if the series had ended there. So we've touched on it so many times before. Well, at least I have. It is a great series. Seasons 2, 3, and 5 are legitimately great. Season 6, it's all right. Season 4 kind of sucks. Anyway, Community Season 5 is my number 30.
Talking about great series, my number 30 is the first of a tremendous series. And it is Crocodile Dundee.
Oh!
But specifically, I'm talking about our Netflix review of Crocodile Dundee. What a phenomenal time I had watching you squirm watching Crocodile Dundee.
Are you sure this is Crocodile Dundee 2 and not Deathstalker?
Oh, no, not Deathstalker.
Okay.
Because you didn't squirm for Crocodile Dundee, but making you sit through Crocodile Dundee was phenomenal, and it was so fun to talk about. So again, I know we've said we're going to revisit the Netflix review, so I was thinking about that quite a bit, and I really enjoyed watching Crocodile Dundee again, because it's something I'd seen so much as a kid, just as like a classic USA/TNT movie. They just, you know, like over the summer, they throw it on an afternoon, like a Tuesday afternoon at 1:30. I don't know what the hell, put Crocodile Dundee on. So I've seen the movie a lot as a kid, and then to watch it again now as a 30-year-old man. It's like, wow, there are some real plot holes in this baby, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
So I had a great time watching it and an even better time ripping it apart with you. So one of the things I really liked that we did was the Crocodile Dundee Netflix review.
It was Crocodile Dundee 2.
Excuse me. That's right. When they
lost in New York.
They were lost in New York, and then they do eventually go back to
Australia. Yes. Spoiler. So
25 years later, spoiler alert.
So we're in the 20s now, Steve. We're getting there, man. We're getting there. My number 29 is a YouTube video that I saw on YouTube, but it's Key and Peele's Gay Wedding Advice. Why?
Oh, I've seen that.
Oh, it's so funny, dude. The basic premise is you got a super ignorant family whose cousin is getting married.
Say super one more time. Say super one more time.
Thank you. So they have a super ignorant family.
Blam!
Oh, God. And we're done. Their cousin is getting married to another man. So they bring in, one of them brings in a coworker who's also gay. And he comes in and is basically like, don't worry, guys. A gay wedding is just like a straight wedding. And they're like, oh, hold on. So do people sit in the gay section? So we'll sit in the straight section, right? And it keeps going on and on. It keeps going on and building on that. Like, well, what do we throw besides rice? What would you throw besides rice? I don't know. Couscous? Skittles? Key and Peele are so good at the building of the ridiculosity, which is the word I just coined. And
it's actually a show on MTV, you son of a bitch.
Okay, oops. But there's super. It's super funny.
No, actually, it's called Ridiculousness. Sorry.
I coined it, man.
You did.
Ridiculosity. And this video is that in spades. Anyway, that's my number 29.
All right, number 29 for me is going to come down to this one. For those who don't know, one day we were talking about just how white Wes is. And I don't know what podcast that is, but we, which episode I should say, but we realized that when Wes walks, instead of, he's so white that that is the song that plays as he walks down the street.
It was basically because I realized that when black comedians make fun of how white people walk, that's exactly how I walk.
You are the white walking stereotype.
I am one of the white walkers.
And the soundtrack of your life.
That's what I hear.
My wife and I still reference it as, like, sometimes we're walking down the street and we'll just start doing the white guy shuffle that is Wes's walk.
That's me, baby.
So my number 29 is the fond memories of the Wes white guy walk.
And okay, my number 28, Steve, it's another book I know you can't read, so let me describe to you. It's called Old Man's War. It's a super old book.
Super. Say super again.
It's a super old book, Steve. I don't have any other intensifiers besides super. This book is super... God damn, I do say it a lot, don't I?
You sure do.
Oh my God, I haven't realized this before. This book is easy to read. It has a lot of action. It has relatable characters. And it's a really great series. At least the first three books are. That's all I've read. So I want to say, it's a super great series, Old Man's War.
Okay. You super douche. number 28. I think you've mentioned already, but I've mentioned several games off of this, and it is PlayStation Plus.
Okay.
The reason PlayStation Plus comes in at 28 for me, whereas if this were maybe, I don't know, a year and a half ago, it'd be much higher. Because as I've said several times, there were so many great games for a long stretch of time. There was Uncharted 3 on there for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
There was Devil May Cry. Tomb Raider. Wes pointed out some of the indie games that were available. Counterspy and Horde. And there were really awesome games that were available. And for a long time, they were doing multiple games per month, as in like two kind of AAA games and an indie. Sometimes there were like five games a month. And now they've reduced the formula to one AAA title, one indie game. One AAA title, one indie game.
And sometimes not even a AAA title.
Yeah, or what they are claiming as like their main title.
Yeah.
And over the last 8 months-ish or so, when the release of the news happens, what's going to be available, I am not nearly as excited as I once was.
Sure.
I feel like the games are lacking a bit.
Okay.
But regardless, it is still a good value. It's still a good system. I'm glad I partake in it, but that's why it gets dropped down to 28, because there was a point where this was probably a top 10 thing for me, but over the last 8 months, it's finding itself in a free fall, but it is still good. I still think it is worth the money for the year-long subscription,
okay.
Especially if you have a PS4, so you can play online if that's what you want to do, but PlayStation Plus, lots of value, however, not quite the former glory it once had.
And what glory it once had.
What, indeed?
Thank you for giving me that little time to find where I'm at. My number 27 is a Netflix show called Daredevil, which I just started watching.
Ooh, fresh.
It's very fresh. A few days ago. Why it's not higher on my list is because it is a little... too dark and gritty for me. I know that Daredevil is a very dark and gritty superhero. That is his thing. I just like my superhero stuff a little lighter than this. But it's still a very, very good show. It's very exciting. It's not super exciting, but it's very exciting. And the martial arts, the fight choreography is just great. And the storytelling.
Gotta get on it.
Is wonderful. And Vincent D'Onofrio's, D'Onofrio, his Kingpin is so unlike what I was expecting. It actually took me a little bit to get used to it, but it is fascinating to see. So that's my number 27 is Daredevil.
All right, number 27, I'm going into Mordor.
Is it the shadow?
It is the shadow of Mordor.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Did you already mention Shadow Mordor?
I did.
Okay, you suck. It should be much higher on your list.
No, okay.
Because this is truly the only game that I've been really glad I have a PS4 for sure. So far. The Counter Spy version of is better on PS4 than it is PS3, but I know the Shadow of Mordor version is way better on PS4 than it is on PS3.
Because they took out the Nemesis system on the PS3, right?
I know it won Game of the Year, I think, from GameSpot for last year for PS4. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, that's not a real strong Game of the Year game to have. But it is a really fun game. It is really just a conglomeration of, what, four different games into one, really?
Sure.
It's got the Arkham fight system with the kind of Assassin's Creed kind of tower/exploration system. But, I mean, it's a couple different games put together, but they're good games. They do it well. It's a fun game to play. It's not super long.
Say super again, mother!
It's reasonable length. I would like it to be a bit longer, a little bit deeper, but it's a fun game. I actually really enjoyed it, and I didn't realize how much I enjoyed it until I platinumed it and didn't play it again, and then you started playing it. I was like, I kind of want to go over to Wes's house and play some Shadow of Mordor. That's a fun game. That is a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably the best PS4 game I've played so far.
Which, sure.
A, makes me kind of sad, but it is, because I want there to be much better games.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a good game. It is in the hall of very good. It's not going to be the greatest game ever, but it's good.
Yeah.
It is a good game. So that's why it's going to come in at number 27 for me.
Well, my number 26 is going to piss you right off.
Oh, good.
This movie was just a little too talked up. Maybe not even a little. It was too talked up for me. I didn't even enjoy it the first time around. I had to watch it a second time, and I enjoyed it a lot more. But it's still coming in at 26 on my list. That movie is Guardians of the Galaxy.
What?
I know. See? Pisses you right off.
Oh, no.
So it's obviously a lot higher on your list, so I'll just say that's why it's so low. It's still a great movie. I still have a lot of fun whenever I watch it, but it just got talked up way too much.
Fine, we're coming back to this later.
Great.
God, you...
I know.
Excuse me. I'll hold back. I'll hold back for
please,
now.
Please.
I'll retain that for later.
Bottle that rage.
Number 26. Another thing that came out last 2 years that is... It's going to go down in the hall of very good.
Okay.
It's going to be overlooked by a lot of other movies that have been released the last couple of years, but it is really good. Starring my dude, Chris Hemsworth.
Thor the Dark World.
Thor the Dark... It's so good I'm putting it on twice.
Yeah.
No, it is a much better movie than Thor 2, and it is Rush.
Mm-hmm.
That movie is very overlooked, man. Not a lot of people talked about it, I feel like. Directed by Ron Howard. And it's a movie about car racing, and I feel like a lot of people get turned off that it's car racing because the people we hang out with are not into, you know, auto sports.
Sure.
But it's a movie that involves auto racing. It's not a movie about auto racing. And it's not NASCAR, by the way. It is about F1, Formula One racing, which is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really great story, really well acted. And I'm surprised I would like a movie about car racing as much as I did. And it's one of those things where anyone that I know that has seen it, like, man, that's a really good movie. But I feel like a lot of people have not seen the movie. Because Chris Hemsworth, you know, obviously he's Thor. People know him as Thor. Avengers and Thor and, you know, the other cameos and all the other stuff. But he's really good. He's really good in this movie.
Okay.
Really interesting story. Really what it boils down to is kind of that natural talent versus the guy that tries really, really, has to work really hard to be really good at something, and the guy who is just naturally really good but kind of loose. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's that story in just a different context, and it's a really, really awesome movie. I really wish everyone would go out and watch it, because I wish I had more people to talk about this film with. So if you're looking for a good, real good movie in the hall of real good,
mm-hmm.
go watch Rush. It's really very good.
And that's it for this week, folks. Tune in next week to find out what's going to be our 25 through 1. How badly is Steve going to yell at Wes for Guardians of the Galaxy being 26?
Spoiler alert. It's going to be real bad.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to think about it.
It's going to be real bad. So please tune in next week as we get to the cream of the crop, the very best things of the last 2 years.
And 4 months.
And also, please, in the meantime, we would love to hear your guys' 26 through 50, the things that
the Hall of Very Good, mm-hmm. your Horde, your Rush, your Saints Row the Fourth. Things that just weren't quite the best, but you still really liked them.
As Steve said, not the Hall of Heroes, the Hall of Okay Dudes.
And the Hall of, hey, solid dude.
Yeah.
We want to hear the things that you guys think fit in that category before we get to the very top tier. So we'll see you guys here again next week. As always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was 25 each.
And we're out.